Got your Bible up there?
Ooh, whoa, how about that? If you will, turn to John chapter 4. You can follow along. I'll start at verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, set thus on the well, and was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water shall that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Don't have a clock, do I? So we'll see if we can cut me off at 30 minutes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all the blessings you've given us, and we thank you even for this day that we can gather together. We pray, Lord, that you take your word and bless our hearts with it. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. At the first verse, 4:1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. You know, always there's a lot of jealousy in some of the congregations or between one church and another church, who has the most, who has the best, whatever. I don't think you can judge a church completely by its congregation, and yet it's one of the things that we judge things by. It's nice to see a parking lot with all these cars out here coming out, going through a little extra bit of trouble to be where the Word of God is preached and to fellowship with other believers. Anyway, Jesus was getting more disciples than John. Now it says, verse 2, Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. What it's saying is there that Jesus didn't baptize, but his disciples did the baptizing. You can think of what would happen after the resurrection of Jesus Christ and say, you were only baptized by Judas, I was baptized by Jesus. So he did not do the actual physical baptism. He preached and let his disciples do the baptizing. Now then, he's going through Samaria. He's from Galilee to try to get to Jerusalem at this time of the year. Ah, thank you. If I look at that, I'll have a time to get myself off. Okay. Then he said he must needs go through Samaria, verse 4. Verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. This is the inheritance of Joseph that he got from his father Jacob. And this is a long time away from that time. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jacob was a well driller. I think that must be a very good occupation in some of these desert countries. And in the desert of the United States, the fellow that dug a well helped everybody. Jacob was a well driller. He said there he was wearied on his journey, and he sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Verse 7, then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Now, that was a daily occurrence. They had to get water. We don't live without water. And if you're going to live in desert country, water is very, very important. Give me to drink. And his disciples had gone from him. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. There was a lot of problems. You remember when Solomon's son had the kingdom split from him. And then, of course, the 10 tribes were in what was called Israel, and then the tribe of Judah and Benjamin were in what was called Judah. And so these people were conquered at different times, had to pay tribute. Remember how many times they went back and forth with the Philistines? The Philistines would win for a while, and then the Jews would throw them off, and then they would go back and forth like that. So they were a troublesome people to govern. Now, if you look at 2 Kings 17, verse 24, have you ever heard of the lost 10 tribes of Israel? Well, this is the, they don't know what all happened to all of them. But here's what the explanation the Bible gives you in 2 Kings 17, 24. The king of Assyria, he must have been in control. He'd conquered the 10 tribes in a war. He's demanding different things from them. But they're a rebellious people. They don't like being controlled by anyone else. So the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, from Kuthah, from Ava, from Hamath, and for Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. He took these rebellious families, enough of them out, moved them out and scattered them across his kingdom, and he brought people in from others and brought them in here. So by the time we get to the place here where Jesus' time has come, you have these Samaritans, and some of them might be half Jew or quarter Jew or whatever. They had other families moved in, and they'd intermarried with them. And so there's a little bit of a religious prejudice. You think about that, we have it all in us. We have family prejudice. We have national prejudice. We have religious prejudice. We have racial prejudice. We've got a lot of prejudices, and we find them all in there. Well, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along that well. Now, she recognizing he's a Jew. Now, I don't know whether it was because of his dress, or where his beard, or some other something, but she knew he was a Jew. And he was not a Samaritan. And when he asked for a drink of water, she thought it was time to be a little bit offensive. How come you want me to get water for you? You know? You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman, and we don't have anything concourse with each other. And so, Jesus said to her in verse 10, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. She's looking at the water out of Jacob's well. Jesus is talking about a different water, spiritual water, spiritual sustenance in life, spiritual blessing. He said, if you knew the gift of God, what is that? Eternal life. This is a gift. This life right here, this 80 to 100 years, 70 years, is a gift of God. It certainly is. But the gift of God that Jesus Christ has come to give is eternal life, a life like the life of God. And so it's not the physical life. And even if you lose the physical life, if you have eternal life, you simply step into a better place. The Apostle Paul had been there, and he said he was much better there. Philippians chapter 1, you can read where he says that. He said it's far better there than here. Well, you're not going to get any viruses there. You're not going to get any death, no sorrow, no sickness, no pain. And Jesus is talking about, I've got better water to give to you than what I'm asking you to give to me. So if thou knewest the gift of God, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, life forever, life like God's. And then he said, and who it is that saith to thee. She doesn't know who she's talking to. She's talking to a man. She recognized him as a Jewish man. But she did not know that he is the Messiah, that he's the Son of God, that he's the Savior of the world. And so he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. It's a nice trade-off. Really is. John 3:16, famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born. He's talking about the child here. Not talking about the Almighty God. Not talking about the history of the past. He's saying we got a child coming. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be up on his shoulder. He's going to rule. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Wow, listen to that. This child is born called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That's what Isaiah prophesied, that this son that was going to come, he would be the Mighty God. He's called Wonderful. He's called Counselor. That's your Holy Spirit there. The Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. To give peace in the heart, spiritual peace. Now, the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Well, that's a question that's been asked at different times. And the Bible considers it several different ways. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? They recognized in Jacob as a great man. And we know that Jacob got the spiritual blessing of Abraham, and that the Christ is going to come through him, and the whole world's going to be blessed with the seed of Jacob. So Jacob was a great man, and he was recognized as a great man by his descendants. Said, all right, art thou greater than our father Jacob? Well, I'd have to say, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace is greater than Jacob. Amen. Then, look at John chapter 8, verse 53. Somebody else had a question like this. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets which are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? As Jesus is preaching, and the way he's preaching, and how he handles the scripture, and how he handles the problems, they recognize that he's on an equal plane with God, or making himself that way, and they accuse him of it, and that's one of the problems they had with him. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? Yes, he is. He's greater than Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? That's John 8:53. Then Matthew 12:42 says something about history of the Bible in the Old Testament. It said, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Well, now, Solomon was a great king. He had tremendous power, tremendous wealth. He got himself in trouble in a lot of ways, but he was a very wise man, and he was a great king. Are you greater than Solomon? And the gifts she brought to Solomon? When the queen of the south came to see Solomon. She wanted to see this guy that had this wisdom. His fame had gone around the world. Are you greater than Solomon? Yes, he surely is. He's greater than Jacob. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this thing, it's an everyday thing. And I tell you the truth, with a lot of the places out in the West, if we hadn't have gotten the windmills and some other things, just certain places that had springs and rivers could raise crops or even support animals. But now then we have great big wells, deep wells, and they're pumping up water. Some of them are artesian wells that just pump up great gallons of water just with no pump on them at all. I had a first cousin who owned lands in Artesia, New Mexico, when I was in the Air Force in Roswell, New Mexico. And we used to go down and have a visit with him. I had little bitty boys, and he had almost teenage boys, but I guess not 10 or 12. And we visited with him. He had an artesian well on his place. His place just desert. It was just plain desert. It looked just like sand, except it's just been plowed over and cleared and whatever. But he had a well there. He drilled down and got a well, and it was about so big, and it just pumped water right out of the, I don't know how many feet below the earth, but way down, not 150 or 350 feet. I'm talking about hundreds of, maybe 1,000 feet, whatever, 2,000 feet. But he could grow anything because he had the water. Now, with that artesian well, he also had a great big diesel engine that could just pump it out all over his farm. And that water made all the difference in the world. Rich, rich land. And all it was, when you go down for this water, you're going to thirst again. Isn't that the truth? Nothing in this life holds us very long, does it? And you drink plenty of water now. An hour or two, you're going to want some more, especially if you're out and working. You're out and working in this sun down here in San Antonio, and bless your heart, you'll want a drink of water before long. And after you've had that, you're going to go for it again. He said they're going to be keep coming back here on this water that we have. He said, but I'm going to, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He's talking about a spiritual life here. He's talking about something that'll bless you internally, spiritually. And you know, that's the real blessing of being saved by God. He lives within us. And because he lives within us, he gives us a joy and a peace that the world cannot give. And all of the things that we do for joy and peace and whatever, He gives it to us. Praise the Lord. So that's spiritual blessings is what he's talking about. So the difference between what the woman was seeing and what she was thinking was spiritual and physical. She could just see the physical and she couldn't see the spiritual. He said, I shall give him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now in John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. He's not talking about the spirit, physical things. He's talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about moving into your spirit, moving into your mind, and giving you a peace that passes understanding, and a life source that is not determined by your physical condition at all. And then John 6:58 said, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. What a wonderful thing. He's not talking about manna where you have to have it every day. He's not talking about our bread and taking care of our life down here. He's talking about a spiritual sustenance that can carry you through all the troubles of life, maintain your faith, give you a peace and a hope, got a knowledge of the forgiveness of sins and salvation. Wonderful, wonderful things, but they're spiritual things. They're not physical things. Then in John 11:26, He said, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Well, we're seeing a lot of people die right now. Maybe more than usual. But we're all going to die. We came into this life kicking and screaming. We'll probably go out the same way. Kicking and screaming. But you know something? That physical death is not the end. That physical death is a transformation into a child of God, blessed with a new body and a new life where there's no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more sorrow. But it's spiritual bread, and it's spiritual water, and it's spiritual life, and they last forever. He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Well, praise the Lord. The woman said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's still not thinking spiritual. She's still looking at this man, and she's still looking at the well. She's there by Jacob's well. And she hasn't got the spiritual insight yet. Give me this water that I thirst not. Every day she had to go to that well, drop that bucket, fill that bucket up in the bottom of the well, haul it out with a rope. And that was a daily process. And, you know, whatever you do daily, whatever you have to do, it gets tiresome sometimes. You decide, I don't want to do this anymore. Well, by the grace of God, we live in a time where we got hot and cold running water in the house. We got air conditioning for the heat. We got automobiles instead of camels and horses. Those horses are a lot of trouble. Those camels are a lot of trouble. They're not, the automobile just gives you a lot more service. So we're living in a blessed time in certain ways that we've got these conditions. Wow. That help us. But I tell you what, the spiritual is still the better. As much as we have in this life, it doesn't compare to what you can have spiritually if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, in John 6:34, the disciples had just got Jesus perform a miracle. And what they said to him was, Lord, evermore give us this bread. It's hard for us to get away from bread, isn't it? It's hard for us to get away from the lunch. And, hey, you going to provide for us? We don't have to work for it. We don't have to take and plow the field, and we don't have to reap the field, and we don't have to store it and preserve it. Evermore give us this bread. John 17, verse 2 said, thou hast given him power over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. In John 17, 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Wow. Eternal life. Sometimes we think too much of the physical and the natural and not enough of the spiritual, because this is going to bless your soul. And then he says to her, go call thy husband. Verse 16. Go call thy husband, come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and thou saidest truly. Now all of a sudden, she gets an insight. How did this Jew know all of these things about me? Wouldn't you be surprised? Yeah, she's surprised. He told her to go call her husband, and she said, I didn't have one. And he tells her, you've had five husbands. Well, she's probably been living in that same Samaritan village, and maybe somebody in the town knew her history, her lifestyle. But not this Jew, this traveling Jew that comes through. And so she comes to a conclusion. She said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I guess so. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And say that in Jerusalem's a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when thou shalt neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, that's in Jesus' day, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah cometh. Now, she may be a descendant of Jacob. She may, and I don't know how much Jewish blood she had her, what percentage she was of different things. She, no telling what it was. But at any rate, she said, I know that Messiah cometh. So she'd been around to hear enough of the preaching or the teaching, which is called Christ. He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I've had some people arguing about the Bible, and they would say, God, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, he did right there. Right there. I that speak unto thee am he. She said, we went back into the village, and she said, come see a man, verse 29, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Praise the Lord. Did you notice she had a man? He was a Jewish man, and there was, she knew she was Samaritan, and he was a Jew, and so she raised the controversy up with him. And then she comes on down and he starts talking about spiritual things. And she said, he told her things that she didn't know. And she said, I perceive thou art a prophet. He said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now what happened was, this man knew things about her that nobody else knew. Outside of maybe her village or her town, Sychar. They might know that she'd had five husbands, and the man she was living with was not her husband. But I want you to know, how could this Jew, this stranger, sitting at a well out here, know that history of my life? He's a prophet, and she said, I know Messiah is coming. The Son of God's coming. The King of the world's coming. The Prince of Peace is coming. He said, I that speak unto thee am he. Let me tell you what you need. You need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't have him, you don't have any hope past this life. Yes, you might live a comfortable life here. You might have all the bread and water that you need. You might have the food that you need and the job that you need and the 225 horses under the hood of your car that you need. But you need spiritual things. And you know there's an event coming your way. An event called death. It's almost always a sorrowful time. Nobody wants to lose their mother, their father, their son, or their daughter, their friend. And yet we know, as we live in this life, every single one of us knows, no matter how many healers there are out in the world, it's still the same, one life, one death. Hadn't changed death at all. You're going to die, and you're going to meet God. According to the Word of God and according to Jesus Christ, you need a Savior. You need somebody that can forgive your sins. Well, He can. He's not just a normal man. You remember what I read about him, how the different things that it said and it claimed in that passage in Isaiah 9:6. His name, talking about the child, unless a child is born, his name shall be called Wonderful. Salvation's wonderful, let me tell you that. And when you get saved, you'll think Jesus is wonderful. Counselor. Oh, we did not know how to raise babies. Verlene and I, we were just the babies of the babies. We grew up and got married, and all of a sudden we had a baby. And Eddie is our first experiment. Counselor, counselor, praise God. We went to the Bible and said, what does the Bible say about it? It helped us a whole lot. The mighty God. Amen. How about creating this world? How about look around you at all the beauty, all the reproduction of the trees and the animals and the human beings. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, praise God. The Prince of Peace, He's the Savior of the world. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a wonderful message. I'm glad I heard it. I'm glad I responded to it. And it's been a wonderful life lived in the light of Jesus Christ. I am so thankful I am not paying for my sins. Jesus paid for them. I'm thankful I'm not trying in my own righteousness to go to heaven. Jesus' righteousness would take me to heaven. And that's the only way I have a chance of getting in. And by the way, that's your only way of getting in. You're not good enough. Some of you are very good people. I understand that. And you know you're better than many of your neighbors. I understand that. But it's still not enough to forgive your sins and save your soul. You need to be dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I hope you do. God bless you.